Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Cheap Heat Podcast, your number 108th sports and recreation podcast on planet Earth. I'm your trusty host, Peter Rosenberg. We're going to get into the show real quick. Couple of business announcements. Number one, coming up on the show later on towards the end, Bill Goldberg on the show to talk about his 24 that came out this week on WWE Network and much more. We'll get all into Survivor Series, but I do want to say we're trying out a new form of recording audio that I want your feedback on, okay, using the iPhone. At Rosenberg Radio, at Stack Eye Greg, when you listen to the podcast, I recorded the podcast today while driving from the radio station through this new app that I'm trying, with the purpose being not that we'll have to use it all the time, but I wanted to see what its capabilities are, because if it works okay and you guys are cool with it, it will allow me to record episodes like when I'm in a pay-per-view city, a reaction podcast, for example, from the arena, where I can get on the phone with Greg and do a podcast. So that's why we're trying out this new form of audio. So give us your feedback. Don't start crying, complaining. All right. We're all hashtag with a life here. So we want to be able to do as much as we can. So this will not be what we do every week, but I just wanted to test out this app and see what the possibilities are. So at Stack Guy Greg, at Rosenberg Radio, get at us. Big episode, lots to break down from this week, and a lot of peckerheads to talk to. But before we get started, let me give a shout out to our peoples at Upside. Yes, one time for Upside. If you travel for business, and as you know, with everything I'm doing, with the WWE these days, with ESPN, I got to go out to LA in December for Sports Nation. I'm always traveling for business, so I've learned how difficult it can be. It is a game of wins and losses when you're traveling for business. For example, open up that overhead bin. It's wide open, empty, room for your suitcase. Huge win. Sleeping through your wake-up call. Uber driver being late. Huge loss. So what you want to do is minimize the losses and raise the upside. That's what you do at Upside.com, okay? Get over to Upside.com right now and book your travel that way. Here's what makes Upside special: the way they treat you. Because everyone knows these websites you book through, it's cool, but then how do you get anyone on the phone? I can't even tell you the nightmare I've had. I won't name the companies. The nightmares I've had trying to get a hold of someone to adjust my plans, do anything. So difficult. Not with Upside. They give you 6-star treatment off top. So don't waste any time. If you're booking travel, go support yourself and support Cheap Heat by going to Upside.com right now and use my code HEAT. Use our code right now, HEAT, and they'll give you a minimum $100 gift card to Amazon.com. That's the code HEAT for a minimum $100 gift card to Amazon.com when you buy your next business trip at Upside.com. That's Upside.com/HEAT. You deserve a better business trip. Minimum purchase required. See site for complete details.
Yes, sir, we promised you a great man.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to the, I don't know, who really knows what rank sports and recreation podcast we are, but it is Cheap Heat. My name is Peter Rosenberg. These days people are calling me Heel Rosenberg. I don't know why that's back. I honestly don't see what's changed. I think I'm the same man I've ever been, but we have a man who still gets no statistics. His name is Stat Guy Greg. SGG, how are you?
I am doing fantastic, Peter.
Are you feeling geared up about the week in professional wrestling?
I am. I'm not going to lie. I'm excited about this Survivor Series card. I'm excited about this NXT TakeOver War Games. I feel a little bit bad for Jason Jordan, but you know what? We got to move on. we got to look ahead.
Well, of course, Greg, we can deal with that as we can deal with that when we get into the Black Power rankings. Actually, as a matter of fact, maybe there's no better time than the present. This is unprecedented. Let's get into it right now, SGG. You brought it up. Why wait? Why delay? Hit us with those Black Power rankings.
I'm blacker than black, y'all. All right. And at number three, I'm going to go with the Velveteen Dream.
Oh, you were all about like the Velveteen Dream.
Yeah, I like his in-ring work. I didn't understand the gimmick at first. I didn't get it, but now I still don't think I fully get it, but I like his work. I like his promos. He's definitely very charismatic, and I'm looking forward to this match that he's going to have with Aleister Black They've been going at it since September. So to finally see this come to a head with a proper old school build, I'm looking forward to it. And Velveteen Dream is coming in at number three. And in at number two, like I said, is Jason Jordan. I feel bad for the guy, but hey, he did get a win, on Raw, if I'm not mistaken. He beat Bray Wyatt, but then he's out in the Survivor Series match. Honestly, I'm a fan, but I can see why people might feel like, what is he doing there? And then if you look at the rest of the team, like the other nine guys on there, you know, you have Braun Strowman, who's been on a tear. And then everybody else has been a champion in WWE, from Finn to Nakamura. If you want to count NXT championships, you know, Jason Jordan's the one who's just like,
eh. No, it's true. It's true. There, I mean, listen, there's no way around it. However, if we go look, I mean, I guess if you're including NXT championships, then yeah, it makes it an easier case for Bobby Roode. You know, Nakamura is someone who kind of supersedes championships in terms of his celebrity and his pop appeal. I mean, he is, after all, the WWE's rock star. Bobby Roode, I do think Bobby Roode is in a similar category to Jason Jordan, but he is definitely, he's definitively more over and has been in his career than Jason Jordan.
Yeah, and he's a veteran too. Like, so, you know, Bobby Roode in a spot like this, I don't think, you know, I think he gets more trust than, you know, Jason Jordan in a spot like this. Bobby Roode, who's been a single star since signing with the WWE, and Jason Jordan, who just got out of a tag team and is still sort of finding his way. I think, you know, part of that is that they looked at him and was just like, we don't really need him in this spot. And, you know, who knows? Maybe when Triple H had to fill in for Roman Reigns and Kevin Owens on those dates, this past month in October, he decided, I could go a little bit and I could jump in this match.
Yeah. And I mean, even though TNA is pro wrestling adjacent, at this point, when Bobby Roode was a big deal there, he was a big deal. And, so it does put him in a different category. So anyways, Jason Jordan at number two. Let's continue on in the Black Power rankings with Stat Guy Greg.
New Day in at number one.
Okay.
Obviously, they have the most anticipated match probably, this weekend, New Day versus The Shield. And not to mention they had a pretty good match with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. And, yeah, like they, even their lowest point, they're still high above a lot of people on the roster, and they are far from a low right now. So I'm going to give the New Day the number one spot on the Black Power rankings. And again, I'm looking really forward to seeing what they do with the Shield this Sunday.
Me too. And as that takes us out of the Black Power rankings and just into our conversation about the week in WWE, I'm just overwhelming. I'm just very excited by this card. Like, I just think there's no way around it. Like, this is as good a pay-per-view card as I can recall. And interestingly enough, I found the build to make very little sense in a lot of ways.
Right.
You know, it's funny because some stories have completely made sense and others just kind of popped up out of nowhere. You know, like, for example, the Survivor Series main event and watching what's happened between Shane and Kurt Angle, and now we have a new wrinkle with Shane and Daniel Bryan, that makes a lot of sense. But at the same time, you know, there are other stories here that have just been like, oh, okay. I mean, even the way the New Day and the Shield came together, I think anyone on the outside could see like, oh, these guys were just kind of, they're kind of left in a weird spot. They should go together. Why not? But yet it worked really, really well. And we end up getting. Yes. The result is still exactly what you want, which is a huge feel match. Sort of feels like one of those odd once-in-a-lifetime matches because, like, you never foresaw a situation in which the New Day and the Shield would clash as both being such perennial babyfaces, you know?
Yeah, and it's like you said, it applies to all of these matches, even the matches that are like, you know, newly formed, you know, like as of last night, we get Charlotte in there with Alexa Bliss, but this is a match that we want to see. You know what I mean? Like, and even when you think about the fact that, yeah, Alexa Bliss is going in as the Raw Women's Championship and Charlotte is going in as the SmackDown Women's Champion, both of them can say that they've held both of those titles. You know what I mean? So it's like, Alexa was going in saying, I'm the only one who's held both. And now Charlotte is saying, I have held both. And I also held the Divas Championship and the NXT Championship. So this match, as much as they haven't been, you know, playing with that little wrinkle of it, that feels like a match for supremacy over the women's division too.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree with you more. It really, you end up getting these really big time feel matches. I mean, even though the modern day Maharaja is our guy, no doubt about it, that Brock Lesnar match is bigger with AJ Styles. Although I am confused as to why Paul Heyman spent like 30 minutes telling us about how great AJ Styles is. I do find that, like, I don't know. We can get into that later, but I found that a bit odd. But you have two huge stars in Brock Lesnar and AJ Styles, and again, has a once-in-a-lifetime type feel for whatever reason. Just, it was not a match that I pictured ever happening. Did you?
No, not at all. But again, I'm glad we get to see it for sure. And I just hope that it doesn't end up like these other Brock Lesnar matches where the guy, like, you get all this anticipation and you wonder what's going to happen, even though you know in your heart what's going to happen. It's going to be suplex repeat.
Well, I think these days, though, Greg, I would argue that these days you don't know exactly what's going to happen with Brock Lesnar. I mean, post-Goldberg, I think they've shown us that there is more possibilities than we initially had with Brock Lesnar.
I mean,
like, you never thought Brock Lesnar would get, you never thought Brock Lesnar would just quickly job out to Goldberg. I didn't foresee that. To me,
no, I didn't either.
And I think the reason, even though I thought it was a bit over the top, I think the reason Heyman goes out there and basically, you know, spends a half hour telling you how great AJ Styles is to set the tone for this is going to be a great match. This is not going to be some easy thing for Brock Lesnar. And I think that he wanted to be clear about that.
He has to, right? Because it's not impressive if somebody's like, I'm going to squash this guy, and then they go out and they actually squash this guy. When you look at them and it looks like they should squash this guy, then it's not that impressive. But if he's like, all right, Brock Lesnar should squash AJ Styles like a bug, but there's a chance that he might not because AJ Styles is better than you think he is. And then he goes out and squashes him after he made you believe that the guy can win. Like, even if you thought in your heart that the dude had no chance, you know, they sort of have to build him up to make it impressive if and when they break him down. And also set that little seed of like doubt just so that if they don't get past him, you can say, you know what? We knew this was a possibility. We'll be back. Just like they did with Goldberg. We knew this was a possibility and we'll be back.
I do think this is one of the best Survivor Series since the late 80s. I've been watching other Survivor Series recently from the late 90s, and it really got away from anything that resembled the original Survivor Series. You know, I think it was in 98. In 98 or 99, they had the tournament for the championship at Survivor Series.
Yeah, I think that was 98.
So, like, there were all these different things that completely got away from the traditional Survivor Series match. Even though in this case, we only have one traditional Survivor Series match. Two, sorry. Both are stacked lineups that make it really good. Particularly the men's one is just an unbelievable, like, old school, really retro Hogan Warrior era Survivor Series match. And then on top of that, because they've added this sort of new situation where it's like, it's the one night of the year where it's Raw versus SmackDown. There's a theme to it. And it makes them, as a result, and I've been saying this, but I say it, I echo it more now going into it this weekend than I have felt ever before. They have truly managed to make Survivor Series Big Four pay-per-view again. And I do not think it had been that previously.
No, I mean, in these recent years, though, they did give it that feel. What year was it?
Not to this degree, though. I mean, last year it was dope to have Goldberg come back, but not to this. It wasn't this level.
Yeah. No, not at all. Even during the last brand split, they had some matches that were like SmackDown and Raw going head to head. And then for some reason, they thought to do bragging rights as a pay-per-view separate from Survivor Series, which I thought was weird, but even I think in 2014 they had a made Survivor Series, but you're right, where like both brands feel strong going into this, and you're getting dream matches, and you got all these champions going head to head, Raw versus SmackDown. I think you're right in terms of the traditional Survivor Series and what it means, and like putting these super teams together of guys that you didn't think were gonna ever team up and probably won't team up again. This is the one that fits the mold as far, going back as far as I can remember.
Yeah, I'm very excited about it, top to bottom. I will be on the kickoff show, which means I will be on a panel with my sometimes nemesis, Jerry the King Lawler, for like 2 hours.
Oh my goodness.
My one question.
That makes it must see. That makes it must see. I've got to tell you, that makes it must see, because
my one question I have for the audience, the Cheap Heat audience, especially those who are hashtag with a life, is what's the over under on insults from Lawler towards me over the course of 2 hours? How many times will I be belittled or insulted by Lawler in the course of 2 hours?
Oh my God. Over 50. It's gonna be.
No, seriously, what's a reasonable number? I had said 3 to someone, and they said no, way over 3.
Yeah, way over 3.
So then you think I should set the
half an hour?
You think I should set the over under then at like 6? I'm gonna say 5.5. I think 5.5 insults or belittlements from Lawler towards me is a safe over under. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's definitely going over, but that's almost fair. You know what
you
I mean?
You can't go
that's,
higher, though. Somebody... Like, we don't talk that much during the kickoff show for me to get it.
Does that stop him? You weren't talking to him when you showed off that Bobby the Brain Heenan jacket. He jumped in to insult you.
Now, here's another question. How long do I... At what point do I have to snap back a little bit? Or are you risk damaging the Cheap Heat universe and the Cheap Heat brand and those who are living this hashtag with a life lifestyle? If I just continue to take it, I mean, listen, you have to have respect for the legends, and Jerry Lawler is absolutely a deserved Hall of Famer, an icon, a crossover star who had major moments with Andy Kaufman and just did incredible things. Great respect for what he's done in WWE and Memphis and throughout his career. But at the same time, that doesn't matter. In any business, sport, thing in the world, right? You only can take getting pushed so much before, if you don't respond, you damage yourself. What are your thoughts?
I agree. And for me personally, because I know you can clap back, I would love to see you clap back like almost immediately, like right out of the gate. But, and this is just me not being backstage and not knowing exactly where you are in the company and like how safe you are. Like, I don't know if it's safe for you to clap back. Does that make any sense?
Of course it does.
That's why you can't clap back
early. You can't clap back early. You have to be very patient. And you have to think, you know what? And I will go into it as I've gone into every time. I will go into it thinking I'm working with a legend. He's just messing around. He's not going to clap at me the whole time. If he takes a couple of shots, whatever. And let's just hope for the best. Now, you go in, you handle it as such. We go through a half hour. He said one little thing. You make it through the whole first hour. Maybe he's made two little jokes. Not a big deal. If we're at a rate, though, that's much more significant than that, and it's like it's an assault, I actually think, and this is what makes WWE so interesting, I think you start losing respect if you don't clap back.
Yeah. I mean, see, I don't know. I think you're right that you might lose respect if you don't clap back, but at the same time, I would hate to sit here and gas you up, right?
Oh, no, you can't. You'd be a terrible friend if you gassed me and then it happened and I was like, you know what, Jerry? And I went off.
Exactly.
And then it said, WWE has come to the terms of the release of Peter Rosenberg. We wish him his best, our best in his future endeavors. No, you feel terrible.
Because the last thing I would want is to, like, have you clap back at my suggestion and then you clap back. Because let's be clear, too, like, this is you we're talking about. Like, you're not going to give, like, a light tap. You're going to clap back, like, brutally. Some people might some people might not, but it...
There's levels.
And I don't want anybody to pop in the headset and give you an earful because I gassed you up.
A very good point. Anyways, we'll see. Tell us if you think it goes over or under insults from the king at 5.5 for the kickoff show, which will kick off at 6 p.m. Eastern time on the WWE Network this weekend.
Special start time.
Special start time, of course, very special. Now, SGG got a lot of tweets this weekend with people telling us that they love the show and they are hashtag with a life.
I saw that.
Also got a handful of tweets from people who were sincerely offended. Did you see any of those?
I saw a few of those too.
What level of amazement did you have when you saw those?
Honestly, I couldn't believe it, but then you can't completely brush them off and start to reflect, and I could sort of see their point of view.
You would think that if you are someone who is with a life, when you listen to me attacking, striking back at those who are without a life, who feel the need to senselessly attack me, even when I make valid points, even when I do a great job at every opportunity that I'm given and work really hard and have earned my spot. And then when I show up, take it seriously, do the best I can, and are just there to chop me down. When I go back at those people and say that most of them without a life and the only thing they have is the countdown to Jericho Omega, you would think that anyone listening who doesn't fit into that category would laugh and think it's funny. And that by even caring, you are acknowledging out loud, I truly don't have a life.
Yeah.
If you're someone who thinks I'm insulting people who love wrestling, well, that would be absurd, as I'm doing a wrestling podcast that I don't make any money for, in the midst of my busy schedule, and spend my weekends traveling away from my amazing wife to go be around wrestling. For you to think I would truly make fun of someone simply because you love it is asinine. That is obviously not what I'm saying. Guys, I've been, I think, to 8 out of 9 or 9 out of the last 10 WrestleManias, okay? I am not in any position to call someone a loser because they're obsessed with WWE. That's not what it means. So if you think that when I said we're here for people who are with a life, the point was just that you have a life beyond what happens on your television. That's all it means.
There were some people who took it as, you know, they were not with a life because they like New Japan only too. There were some people who.
That's silly. Of course you can like New Japan. You can like Ring of Honor. You can even like whatever TNA is called this week. You could like all of it. All right. At some point I did a TNA podcast. I worked the indies. I've done all those things. I'm down with all of it. Love it. I'm just saying, if you literally spend all of your time is you don't have one other thing in your life. And I'm talking about a friend that you love, a relationship, a job, another hobby,
a
dog,
even another TV show that you like.
How about that?
Comic
a football
books,
team,
anything.
Come on now.
You like you got a passion for food? Are you a foodie?
I'm just but when I heard from people who were saying, you know, I've been Greg,
one,
I don't want.
There was one that kind of broke my heart, though. I can't find the guy's name, or like I don't remember it off the top.
How did it break your heart? Like, what did he say that broke your heart?
It was like five tweets in a row, and he was just like, "I've supported you through all the ups and downs. This person came and left, and Shoemaker left, and whenever you asked me to post a review, I did, and then you say it like that. Like, I don't have a wife. I don't have a girl." I'm just like, I was like, bro, I don't have a wife either, yo. He's not talking to us. Like, I don't have a wife either. I have a girlfriend that I love. Yes. I don't have a wife.
I mean,
wife,
here's why I love it.
I don't have the money. He's not talking to us, man.
I'm not trying to break.
He was hurt.
I don't like breaking the fourth wall, but it was amazing. If you haven't seen the tweets, maybe just look under the hashtag with a life. If you haven't seen some of these tweets, it was literally like, it was like jumping into an arena in 1976 and seeing people screaming at the heel and like, I'm going to, like people ready to stab them on their way out of
there. Yeah.
And so I did feel bad, Greg, but at the same time, my appreciation for how good my performance must have been was marking out for myself. Cause I was like, wow, this guy, if I had been in the, you know, if I had been in the Kiel Auditorium in St. Louis, or, we have been in, why am I blanking on the name of the legendary place in Texas? Greg, help me out. We're the Von Erichs. Come on. Well, what are we doing here?
We're thinking of the same place, and
well, you're a stat guy.
Yeah, I'm not supposed. I can't get your stats on freestyle, but I know what you're talking about. It's the Smoky Arena that JBL is always talking about.
Hold on. No, I won't do this.
It's not the Alamo Dome. It's not.
This is so embarrassing. In fact, we should lose the Sportatorium.
Exactly.
Oh my god, that was bad. It felt like what it would be like to be working in the Sportatorium. I could see the smoke. I could see the little girls wearing Carrie Von Erich shirts screaming at me, you know, for beating them up. It was like, it really was an amazing moment to see people feel something. So you know what? Even to those people who may be without a life, you know, I still thank you for buying a ticket, for coming to the show, and for participating and making it great. You are also part of the show. But I would just like to say, if you haven't ever taken things so seriously that you feel the need to go on Twitter and attack me, I really wasn't talking to you. Honestly, if you couldn't see what I said to everyone, Greg, is last week, it was a double turn, you know, 2 weeks ago on the people who have turned on me. I wasn't trying to attack the regular people. However, I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to say it right now as I get ready to go down to Houston for this big weekend. If the shoe fits, wear it.
Oh, God.
Because I'll tell you what. There are a lot of people out here who are with a life who feel rejuvenated. They heard that promo last week and they felt rejuvenated. And they said, you know what? I'm proud to have a job. I'm proud to have a family. I'm proud to not dress like a slob. I'm proud to have a diverse diet where I don't just sit around eating chili dogs all day. I'm proud of having
Now you're attacking me.
Well, then guess what? Get a quinoa salad. Go get yourself a quinoa salad, SGG, and live a little bit, okay? I'm talking about...
No, I refuse to eat even one chickpea. You're not going to pressure me into it.
Hashtag not one chickpea.
Not one.
All right, Greg, let's take a brief 60-second timeout and come back and talk about what was a pretty epic SmackDown, shall we?
Yes, we shall.
All right, SGG, we've talked about them before, and I'm going to talk about them again. Dollar Shave Club. Not only are they supporting the Cheap Heat podcast and making everything we do possible, but they have the amazing Dr. Cover Shave Butter. Yes, and you know they also have products for your hair, your face, your skin, everything you need, and Greg's favorite, the butt wipes. Oh, did I mention the razors? Yeah, they do that at Dollar Shave Club. It's so easy. No more annoying trips to the store, cruising up and down the aisles trying to figure out what to get, wandering around a CVS in Manhattan at midnight. No thank you. I get everything I need from DollarShaveClub.com. Razors, body cleanser, hair gel, and yes, SGG special, the butt wipes. Here's the thing. If you're hashtag with a life, you want to keep yourself clean and looking right. That's why you go to Dollar Shave Club. If you're not with a life, you probably don't care. But here at Cheap Heat, we know what we are, okay? With a life, and we need it. So go get your razors. The replacement cartridges come for just a few bucks a month. It's so easy. Go give Dollar Shave Club a try right now. It's dollarshaveclub.com/heat. That's dollarshaveclub.com/heat. They'll hook you up with a DSC starter set. It's so easy. Just $5 to get started. dollarshaveclub.com/heat.
All right, Cheap Heat, very happy to bring on a guy now, never really gotten to speak to, though I was honored to get to be there for some of the major events that are covered in the new 24 on the WWE Network, Bill Goldberg. Bill, thank you for making some time. I appreciate it.
You got it, my friend.
You're on set right now shooting something major, I've been told. Is that correct?
Not major, but shooting on set, yeah.
Well, some. Now, here's the thing that jumped out to me that I was watching. Again, it's available right now on the WWE Network. There's a lot of things that really resonated with me for a variety of reasons from this doc. But most notably was, I wanted to ask you, how nice is it to, when people now bring up WWE and WCW and your entire wrestling past to you, which I'm sure got brought up every single day of your life, how nice is it to now have a positive feeling related to that versus what you had prior to the comeback?
It's a relief that can't possibly be described. If you took note in the WWE 24 piece, realized through my wife's interview that, you know, throughout our relationship, it's been nothing but a negative subject. And she's seen the ill will and the disdain I've harbored throughout my life with her about that subject. And her main goal for me going back, I truly believe, was not... It was more centered on me erasing that time of my life, or not erasing it, but rectifying the feeling that I have towards the business than actually her being in the moment and seeing me do what I do. That's how unselfish my wife is. She just wanted to be able to look at me and know that I'd cleansed myself of that feeling.
Yeah, it just stood out to me because you're Goldberg, right? It's funny, you know, in a time... our listeners here know that the time really of your run in wrestling, I was sort of checked out as a fan, oddly enough, and which was a terrible time to be checked out. But and I was in Miami once when I was like 20 years old and saw you on South Beach. Went up, shook your hand. I was like, oh my God, that's Goldberg. And you know, as a Jewish guy, I was just excited to see the biggest man named Goldberg I'd ever seen in my life. But to that point, you were an absolutely, and still are, recognizable star because of what you accomplished in wrestling. So it's such an interesting dichotomy that plays out throughout this 24 of the fact that you were so unhappy about it. And that's what makes the story so sweet, to see how it played out last year. And, you know, perfect timing as we come up to Survivor Series right now, which is where you returned last year to face Brock.
Well, so what was it, though? You often refer to the fact that you never had fun in the business. Why is that? Because I get the last run ending negatively, but why, when you were absolutely on top, was it still not fun for you?
I mean, you know, I'm not going to go back on my statement to say that it wasn't fun. There were areas where I had a great time. But as far as the preparation that it takes for me to be me and the perfectionist that I am and the lengths that I will and have gone to perform at the highest level so that people are entertained and I can look myself in the mirror and be proud of who and what I've done. It's just, I'm a very stressful person in that I put way too much emphasis on certain things that probably don't need that much emphasis. I mean, at the end of the day, it was tough, man. It was just tough preparing. It wasn't tough turning into Goldberg because I'm that guy 24/7. I mean, I know when to pull part of me out. It's just that it's the preparation. It wasn't that I had to lift. It wasn't that I had to travel. It wasn't that, you know, my time was limited. It was that I personally put myself through hell trying to be the best. And, you know, sometimes that can be a heavy weight to deal with.
I thought it was also interesting that, I don't know, I mean, for me, you've always been a really interesting character, because as much as I love to just joke about it, you know, and be like, oh, it's Goldberg, he's Jewish, it's crazy. Your character, you really are not typical of anyone, you know, being named Rosenberg, growing up my entire life, you are not typical of anyone who was famous who had a name similar to mine. So when I saw the special, that was something I was struck with, was that you seem to share sort of in that quality that a lot of Jews seem to have of sort of not paranoia, but, you know, we can be hard on ourselves, and there's a certain self-deprecating sense of humor that always exists in Jews that seems to really exist in you. And it's like, I think every Jew out there just assumed, well, like, Goldberg's immune to those qualities because he's so friggin' jacked and the guy's a superhero. But that's the thing that I was so taken aback by in the film. You seem much more like someone I could be related to than I ever realized prior to the film.
You know what? Steve Austin's a normal human being. Brock Lesnar can be a normal human being. It's not a far stretch for me to be a normal human being. I am no different than anyone else. I'm just cast as a character in certain things that I do. I've got to perform in certain things that I do. But hey, man, I get up, I make my son's breakfast, I put his lunch together. You know, I pick him up from school. I volunteer to be his coach. You know, I take out the trash for the wife. I pick up hay for the horse. I mean, I do everything. I'm no different than anyone else, except for I've got other responsibilities. And truly, I am no different internally than many other Jews that you know. And that, yeah, I'm seriously self-deprecating. But at the end of the day, I'm self-deprecating, and I'm an attention to detail. And I don't like to be late. I take a lot of pride in what I do and what I put my stamp on. And at the end of the day, that's a curse, and it's a blessing, but it's a curse. And I can live with the curse because the blessing far outweighs the curse.
Would you have liked, you seem like maybe you're the personality type who would have enjoyed this version of the locker room more? Less partying, more professional. You got to be there. I'm around it at every pay-per-view. This is not the wrestling biz that this is not wrestling that I used to read about. This is a lot of young people who are very professional and dreamed of doing this. Do you think you would have enjoyed this environment more, or did it feel a little sterile to you?
Not to say that I would have enjoyed it more. They were two completely different settings. And one instance, you walk in and you got Lex Luger, the Steiner brothers, and Mr. Perfect, and, you know, you got Nash, and I mean, that in and of itself was a reality show.
Yeah, I'll say.
It's a completely different setting. I'm sure, hey, don't think that for 2 seconds that some of those kids don't go out and have a lot of fun like we used to. It's just they are, I think they're a bit more responsible, and they don't wear it on their sleeves as much as we did. And there's a thing called social media.
Correct.
And smartphones out there now.
Right.
So I think we you know, they have adjusted with the times.
Again, Goldberg, 24, up on the WWE Network right now. Obviously, your son is a major theme throughout the movie, and it got me choked up a couple times on the treadmill watching yesterday, because as a 38-year-old myself, who is in serious conversations, these serious children conversations with my wife as we speak, I obviously... How old's your son?
11.
And how old are you?
I'll be 51 in December.
Exactly. So I said to my wife, I'm like, from the son father relationship standpoint, if we are lucky enough to be blessed with children, we're talking about almost the exact same age range, right? So I was living through you watching this, and it was so unbelievably touching. How excited about it was your son beforehand? Did he have an interest in the biz before, and where is that interest now?
Well, I mean, he had an interest, but it wasn't something that was front and center in my life, so it wasn't something that he clamored for. If it was on TV, I'd mull over it as quickly as possible. It wasn't something we watched by any stretch of imagination. There wasn't one wrestling program that was viewed in our house before I went back.
Wow.
It just wasn't. It's not that I hid it from him. It's just he never asked about it because it wasn't in the here and now. You know, we did many times, I'd show him on YouTube what was going, hey, Daddy, show me, you know, whatever. And I did it, you know, willingly and proudly. But that was a different time, you know. And to be able to go back and do what I did, man, and being married and having my little boy is just the most fulfilling, rewarding, unbelievable feeling in the world to know where I am, where I've come from, and where I am now, and what I have. It's invaluable. And to be able to provide them with the experience that I provided them with over the past 8 months during that run, or 6 months, man, I mean, again, I'm speechless. I'm forever indebted to Vince McMahon and Brock and any and everybody who let me back, and most importantly, the fans who accepted me back. And you know, I don't want to get corny at all, but man, it truly was a very touching 6 months for me. I mean, I could live in my son's shoes, and I sat back and I watched him, and you know, it's a huge part of him now. It wasn't then, but it is now.
Are we talking? Are we talking Raw and SmackDown every week? Where are we at?
No. I mean, as far as him being proud of his dad and being there, and you know, I'm not going to lie. We haven't watched it very much since I left, you know, man. But there's not much time between baseball, Muay Thai, and football, so.
Right?
And homework. Let me not overshadow that by any means. But it's, man, I'm the luckiest guy in the world. I'll just put it out there like that.
When you
able to do what I did and then go back, you know, 13 years removed. I mean, it's a storybook ending. I'm pretty much speechless.
And I'll let you go and get back to set. But when you were there and you did some great work with Brock, I really, really think that that match at WrestleMania will age very well. Really, really fun way to wrap that thing up. Was there anyone you met, anyone you saw work that made you think, I might enjoy getting to do something with this person?
Oh, shit. Are you kidding me? There's a number of them. Anybody and everybody who's near the top, I want to smash. I mean, that's Goldberg. I mean, it's like, hey, man, let me get some time with this guy. Let me get in with this guy. You know, that's just the competitive nature of me. And, you know, is it a reality? Probably not by any means.
Is the door open? Would you say it's on your end? I know on their end it's open. Is it open to you, the idea that you could maybe do one or two more things, or is the story closed?
You know what, brother? As long as I'm alive and I don't – sorry about that brother thing. I do not want to sound like Hogan. I as long as I'm here and I got my boy, man, and I can punch and kick and knee people 3 days a week at our Muay Thai gym, then I think I can do whatever. But there's a lot that goes into that thought process. You know that. It's the door is always open, man. Let's just put it that way. I think we have a different relationship now. And hey, if Vince called me and wanted to talk about something, then you know he's got an open line.
Has Vince Has Vince changed? Did he seem like a more mellowed version of himself? What was Mr. McMahon like on your turn?
Let's just put it this way. If both of us didn't change, it wouldn't have happened. Okay, so he's changed exponentially. He is, he may have been the same guy back then, but with a different front, or I may just not have been able to get close to him and spend that time with him, but he's a true gentleman. You know, he really is, and I'll never be able to say a bad thing about him after what he gave my family.
Well, listen, Bill, it has been a pleasure getting to talk to you, and it was a pleasure watching the film, and I think I speak for all WWE fans when I say it was a real treat to get to have you come back and spice things up for a while. So go check out the movie. It is called Goldberg 24 on the WWE Network right now, and thanks for making time for us, man. We appreciate it.
Honor and a privilege, Mr. Rosenberg. I will talk to you later.
Take care, my friend. There he is, Bill Goldberg, as we continue on now on Cheap Heat. All right, and you go from one physically large man to another physically large man, back to SGG, so we can get into the week that was on SmackDown and Survivor Series predictions. SGG, great conversation there with Goldberg.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing it.
Yeah, you're going to enjoy it, and I really think you'll enjoy it. Have you watched the 24 yet?
I did not, but I heard very good things about it, which is pretty cool. They're really doing a great job with all those 24s that they do, not just the Goldberg one, but...
No, I think so as well. Yeah, I really hope they continue to push those. A really well-done film, the Goldberg 24. Sort of a different than the Flair, obviously in a whole variety of reasons, and they are obviously very different characters, but... Flair, the film was awesome, but ultimately it was a picture, a really well-told picture that if you were a big fan, you already knew, right? Like, we knew this stuff about Flair. It was just awesome to get to see it. The Goldberg story is cool because I just haven't known much about this Goldberg, even upon coming back, you know? He just sort of came back. So, it's pretty cool. And I was struck by just how, personality-wise, just how Jewish he actually is. That's what I was struck by. So anyways, Greg, SmackDown. Two things to really focus on here. Obviously, a nice, you know, good setup there at the top of the show for AJ Styles representing SmackDown against Brock Lesnar at Survivor Series.
And great mic work by Daniel Bryan, too, right?
Oh, like, yeah.
Impeccable.
And by the way, what is going to happen? This Daniel Bryan having an issue with Shane McMahon thing. Now, are you at the point where every time Daniel Bryan does something, you think we're working towards him getting in the ring again?
Yes. Yes, I am, especially considering the fact that whenever he's outside of the ring and doing an interview, he talks about how much he can't wait to get back in the ring. And I think on Busted Open this week, he even went as far as saying, like, next September, I'm wrestling again, whether it's for the WWE or somebody.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out, because as I've said many times, I cannot see how that happens and WWE allows it to happen somewhere else. You know? If a guy decides he's going to work no matter what, and he has doctor's information that says he can, I cannot see why you wouldn't do it there. So, cool, great mic work by Daniel Bryan. Gets you pumped up more for the AJ Brock thing. However, the two big stories are, of course, Charlotte winning back the winning for the first time the SmackDown Women's Championship. First of all, how surprised were you by Charlotte's win?
I wasn't that surprised.
Did you think it would happen? So you were? Did you still think as of like last week that it could happen, or just once the match was set, you're like, oh, they're gonna make it her versus Alexa Bliss?
Yeah, when they announced the match, her versus Natalya, I thought to myself that this would be the night that she won the championship, because when we initially discussed the Survivor Series card, it looked very different, right? You had Natty versus Alexa, and those were two heels. You had Brock versus Jinder, also two heels.
Well, Brock heel of Jace, but yes, continue.
Yeah, you had the Usos versus the Shield, which is two faces at that point. And I thought, like, they had a lot of matchups where it was like there weren't very many. You know, Miz and Baron Corbin is heel. So I noticed that they had a lot of those matchups where, you know, there weren't too many heel face dynamics in there. And then when I saw they were pulling a bunch of title switches, I figured if there was another one that was going to switch, it was going to be Charlotte with the SmackDown Women's Championship so that she could go up against Alexa. And now you have more a more evenly balanced card with really set face heel dynamics.
Yeah, I a nice match between Charlotte and Natty, and not surprisingly. I mean, listen, I wouldn't say it ended with the sort of like climax you might want from the two of them, considering how great they are in their lineage. But I'll tell you what, I think it's probably better for the Survivor Series card. I think Natty did a great job with the championship. You know, I think Natty did a great job getting us to where we are now. I don't know that she needed to keep it beyond now anyway. So I had no issues with it. And then you get the amazing moment with her winning it in Charlotte with Flair there. I mean, it's almost like it would have been a huge waste to not do it. I think you have to give them credit for pulling the trigger there. As we've said, an amazing card at Survivor Series. Like, I'm floored by the card. Clumsy getting there sometimes. But again, that moment had to happen this week. I don't think at this point in Flair's life you pass on that moment.
Yeah, and people were saying that they would do it at Starrcade, if anything. But I agree with you. I think this was the better time to do it, especially if they're not going to air Starrcade. If it's going to be like, if it's not going to show on the network, then it doesn't make sense for them to hold off
for
a moment for it.
And we still don't know what the deal with Starrcade is, so I don't see I don't see how that would really be an option.
And what I love the most about this moment, though, with Charlotte, is that I don't think she knew he was there.
I really got to try to ask her that, because I couldn't tell. It seems like my thought is they set it up for her to do it, yeah, and not know. But it was hard to tell also. Like, I wasn't 100% sure either way.
When she's in the ring, she made specific note of the fact that, like, he's home watching, like, he watches every Tuesday. And I'm sure that when I get back to the locker room, I'm going to have a text from him about how proud he is. But then when his music hit, like, she looks visibly confused. Like, she's celebrating and everything like that. But when his music hits and they cut off her music, she looks like she doesn't really know what's going on. So I think, you know, if she did know, kudos to her. Her acting is getting better. But if she didn't know, then that was, you know, kudos to them for pulling off that surprise. I think.
Oh, yeah. And kudos to her for her mic work, her promo afterwards, regardless, I thought was really good. So now we get Alexa Bliss and Charlotte, which is a cool, the beginning, at least the early workings of what could be a story that plays out over time. And then what were your thoughts on the Shield's invasion of SmackDown?
Oh, man, I loved it. I think it came off a lot better than SmackDown's invasion of Raw. It seemed more vicious. And I just liked that. I liked how Kurt Angle was not afraid to be on the front lines throwing punches as well.
I agree. Better. A little more surprising. I mean, granted, I think everyone kind of thought something would happen, but it hadn't happened yet. So I'll tell you what. I'm left with, you know, regardless of what happens at Survivor Series, I got to say, and again, this is such a weird dichotomy, because I'm telling you, there are things that I found clumsy and not really liked story-wise over the last few weeks. Like, up until SmackDown this week, I have not loved an episode of TV in the last few weeks. SmackDown, to me, was the first great piece of TV. Yet, at
the
same
time... What pushed it over the edge for you?
Say it again?
What pushed it over the edge for you? What made it... turned it into, like, a love?
It's just, there were a few... like, there were multiple storylines that were really elevated in advance of this pay-per-view on Tuesday. And then, you know, although I will tell you, I did not like the open with Shane talking in the locker room, because why would they all have microphones?
I didn't like it either. I thought it was very cheesy.
Why would, like, they have microphones?
I noticed that too. Like, he went, when he threw it to Becky, like, a microphone just appeared in her hand.
They cut that or something, and... you know, prior to that, it's like, why couldn't they just use boom mics? It didn't make sense. I could even understand him having a mic, right? Like, someone could give a speech in a workplace and have a microphone, but not everyone else would have one. It doesn't make sense. Right. So, that just lost me. And then it turned out that the show got better from that minute on. And like I said, even through these clumsy sort of weird shows that have been leading up, right now, and we need to get to it right at this moment, because we got to wrap this up, we got to break down this this finalized card for Survivor Series, Greg, and do our quick predictions. I'll ask you right now. My assumption is that you do not have any stats this week.
I do not have any what this week?
Stats.
No, besides the one I dropped with Charlotte being the... Can we call this the Grand Slam, the Women's Grand Slam in WWE? She held the NXT Championship, the Divas Championship, the Raw Women's Championship, and now the SmackDown Women's Championship. Do they have a name for this? Are they going to make a big deal out of this? I think this is a big deal.
Unless they bring the women's title back, she will be the only person to ever do that.
Well, Paige can do it. Paige had the Divas Championship, and Paige was NXT champion.
Way to
NXT
deliver a stat last minute, SGG. Because you're right. And Paige, listen, maybe we see Paige on Sunday. I thought we were going to see her this week. So
yeah, Paige is the only one that could do it. SmackDown Women has a spot open, too. I mean, it's assumed that it's going to go to Natty, but the spot is open. So, but yes, besides that, I have no stats.
Wait, it ended with with another slot still open?
Well, because Natty was going to be against Alexa Bliss, but because Natty is not the women's champion, she is not facing Alexa Bliss.
And yeah, TBA. That so you still got a TBA.
That doesn't necessarily mean that she's automatically on the SmackDown women's team.
So maybe it's been going back and forth about what I've been reading online, at least, about where Paige ends up. Maybe it's SmackDown. That TBA slot certainly makes you think so. All right, Greg, I'm going to hit you real quick. Let's get these predictions in. Enzo Amore, Kalisto.
Enzo.
I'll go with Enzo, too. The Miz and Baron Corbin.
I got to go with The Miz, man. Baron Corbin and The Miz, they've been jaw-jacking back and forth. But Miz has the Miztourage at the end of the day. So.
Very good point. I'll go Miz as well. I just think Miz is in such an important position on Raw that, and he has to take so many L's, you got to get him a W every blue moon, right?
Right.
Especially I think it's a good one for him to get.
Sort of low stakes.
Team Raw, Kurt Angle, Braun Strowman, Finn Balor, Samoa Joe, and Triple H against Team SmackDown, Shane McMahon, Randy Orton, Bobby Roode, Shinsuke Nakamura, and John Cena in what is a 1987, 88, 89 classic feeling Survivor Series match, Thanksgiving a few days away. I mean, my juices get flowing, SGG, when I talk about this match. I am going to go with a win for Team SmackDown.
I am going to agree. I feel like not only this, not that SmackDown needs it. I don't think either show needs it. But for storyline development, especially if this is supposed to be the show that leads us towards, you know, the Royal Rumble and then the Road to WrestleMania, planting some seeds, I think Team Raw, storyline-wise, could benefit from some dissension between, you know, Triple H and Kurt Angle and the people on that team.
And could Jason Jordan come be involved? We'll see.
Right.
All right. So Team Raw, Alicia Fox, Nia Jax, Asuka, Sasha Banks, and Bayley versus Becky Lynch, Carmella, Naomi, Tamina, and TBA with Lana, in case you're wondering. Man, if that TBA is Paige, sort of makes me think she comes in, gets the win right away. If not, I could see that being one you give to Raw. I'll go Team Raw.
Yes, I mean, I hate to agree with you so much because it doesn't make for controversial picks going into the weekend, but I'm going to go with Team Raw as well, just because if not for nothing else, I don't want to see it. Loss in Asuka's column just yet. And if it has to be elimination, like she has to get eliminated, you know, then it's possible that, you know, she would have to take a pinfall or a submission. And I don't want it to happen on Sunday.
All right. Okay, no time for explanations. My show's about to start. But I am going to try, Greg, for us, if you're down, to try to do a reaction episode on Sunday night on the phone with the technology we were using earlier in the show. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm 100% down for it, and I think the people are going to be excited for it.
Also, please, before we wrap up here, don't forget everyone who went and subscribed to Rosenberg Radio. I really appreciate it. For those of you that didn't, congratulations, you played yourself. I'm going to drop a new, if I can get, I need proof of like, I'm going to this time just say 15 new subscriptions. I will drop interviews on Rosenberg Radio tomorrow, classic wrestling interviews. So search for Rosenberg Radio on your iTunes podcast app right now. Real quick, The Bar versus the Usos. I'll go Usos.
I'll go with The Bar.
Lesnar, AJ. Lesnar.
Yeah, Lesnar. As much as I want AJ, it's not happening.
Shield, New Day. Shield.
Shield.
And Alexa Bliss versus Charlotte Flair. I'm going Charlotte.
Ooh, I'm going to go Alexa.
I just think it's time for Charlotte to get her mojo back. She's been hovering in the middle area too long. SGG, I got to do my radio show. I love you, buddy. We'll talk Sunday. Enjoy Survivor Series. And also, stay mage.
All right, man. Safe travels.
Stay mage, please.